Yud Dal Shvat, Wednesday the 19th of January, Rabbi David Katz, the Chiddush of Matan Torah.
Parshas Yisroi, in a way, is a culmination from what we started, Parshas Shmos. Perhaps it brings the whole story to an end of the circle, when the Jewish people have suffered so much in Mitzrayim, and then they come out and they receive the Torah. And the whole purpose of the Bnei Yisrael going through this Golus, through this terrible Shiabud, was in order to receive the Torah. As we see that Hashem says to Moshe right at the beginning, right from the beginning Hashem says to him, the whole purpose is for Matan Torah. And as Pare has arguments with Moshe, you want to go serve Hashem, only the adults, not the children, etc., etc. But we need to understand, what is the gewalt of Matan Torah that the Jewish people had to suffer so much? That they had to go through hundreds of years of exile, of Golus, for this great thing. Obviously there's something more than what meets the eye in the giving of the Torah. So perhaps in order to understand this Chiddush, we can analyze a text in the Talmud, and when we can understand every detail of it, it will give us a clearer picture of the old Chiddush of Matan Torah. So, one of these texts in the Talmud which explains the gewalt, the amazing kite of the Torah, which is the Gemara Psochim, Daf Samaches. There the Gemara talks all about the greatness of the Torah and the Ashpoy it has on the world. And the Gemara brings from Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef says, on Shavuos, I make a special feast. And he says, I would use an Egel Meshulesha, it's a very special type of calf, which is the tastiest one, and he'd invite the entire town and make a big thing of it. Why? And Rabbi Yosef goes on to explain, because Ilav HaYoyme, if not for this day, Deko Gorim, which caused Kama Yosef Iko Beshuka. How many Yosefs are there in the marketplace? Simple meaning, to say that if not for Matan Torah, I'd be just like anybody in the street. The whole makes me, my uniqueness, my greatness is the Torah. So let's try and understand, perhaps look at it closer. Rav Yosef says, Ilav HaYoyma, if not for this day, for that day, what would I be? What does it mean, that day? So Rashi says, Matan Torah, the fact that he was given the Torah. So Lecher, why does Rav Yosef just speak straight? Ilav HaTorah, if not for the Torah, then I'd just be a simple person. He's speaking in riddles. And the question is even more stronger to the point. What do you mean if not for that day, Matan Torah? The Torah existed long before that day. As we know, that Ha'ova is Kimu Kol HaTorah Kula. And Yaakov Avinu learned in this Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. And the Yehuda Sholach Lefonov, Rashi tells us to build a base Medrash. And Avraham, it says, Zaki and B'Yeshu B'Yeshiva. I'm quoting them all over. So the Torah was there. People studied Torah. So what's Rabbi Yosef coming and saying, Ilav HaYoyma, if not for that day, then who would I be? You would have learned Torah even without the day of Matan Torah. Also, we need to understand why he says, Beshuka. He should have said, Kama Yosef Ike Balma. And why does he also say the word Yosef and not Kama Inche? Some people say, they try and the answer I saw on Al-Adaf, some Mepharshim, they say that he's not referring to the Torah itself, but rather what it says in this week's parasha, V'yisum li segula mikol ha'amim. The fact that through Matan Torah we became the Am Segula. But A, it's not what Rashi says, Rashi is the most common explanation of the Gemara, etc. Rashi says it's Torah, it's not Am Segula. But more than that, it seems from what you see Rabbi Yosef is saying, he's talking about something which affected him. Am Segula affected the entire Am Yisrael. And the fact is that he says Kama Yosef, he doesn't say Kama Inche, people. So there's something mamish you see, that Rabbi Yosef is talking about his particular situation, and how the Torah affected him himself. So we're back to square one, and we need to understand, what is this about this day? So to understand this, We need to turn to a famous medrash which is elaborated and explained in Chassidus, and that is that before Matan Torah there was a gezeira, Elyoinim lo yirdu letachtoinim, vetachtoinim lo yalu leelyoinim. The gezeira was that those above shall not go down below, and not vice versa. Those below should not go up above. Which means to say that yes, there was Torah beforehand, but it had no effect on this world. The effect that the Torah had was on the Loimed HaTorah, and even that was a limited effect, as we see with Lemoshel Yaakov Avinu. The Torah tells us the whole story of Ayikach Lo Yaakov Maka Livne Lach Veluz Armoy, and the whole thing with the sticks. And Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, quotes, brings down that he was putting on tefillin. However, the sticks stayed poshut things. They didn't get kedusha. They didn't need to be put in geniza afterwards. There was no hefta the kedusha in this world. Why? Because before Matan Torah, yes, people studied the Torah, but there was no tzivui from Hashem on studying it. So because there was no tzivui, it had no effect in the world. Only after Matan Torah, when Hashem was mitzaveh, He told us, you need to do this. Oh, that made a whole new mitzius, a whole new existence in the world, that by studying Torah, one can affect the man and the physical world. And Hashem says, "Vani amaschil," and I would be the one who starts. And that's why it says, "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai." He came down into this world, which explains, by the way, the reason why Avraham Avinu, when he's looking for a shvua to Mashviah Eliezer, so he says, "Sim no yodcha tachas yerechi, vashviachu b'Hashem alikei Hashemayim." He says, "Put your hands in between my feet." And the question is, why? L'chayr is heipach atzniyas. Avraham Avinu couldn't find anything else that is choshev, that is important, that Eliezer could hold on. And the answer is, pidyuk, what we're talking about. The only tzivui Avraham Avinu had was bris milah. So that was the only thing that really had kedusha in this world. And that is when Avraham Avinu was looking for something holy, he couldn't give him a sefer Torah, couldn't give him a sefer. There had no, there was no kedusha. There was nothing you could really hold on that had the kedusha, the spirituality had emanated, penetrated it. Only his bris milah. It's interesting to know that the Rambam writes that nonetheless today we don't do bris milah because of the tzivut of Avraham. Although Hashem told Avraham in the tzivut bris milah lechol lezarachol leveroisam, that it's for your future children for entire generations, nonetheless the Rambam writes, you can't compare the Kedusha that one person got al Tzinevuah to the Tzivui that Moshe Rabbeinu got Noisen HaTorah, etc., which is much stronger. So we see that even in that Gufa there's levels. But based on this understanding, the difference between before Matan Torah to after Matan Torah, now we can understand what Rabbi Yosef is talking about. Rabbi Yosef is coming and saying, Ilav HaYoyma, yes, there was Torah before, but there would be no effect in the world. And therefore we can read also the deeper meaning, Ilav HaYoyma Kama Yosef, Yosef Miloshen HaSofo. There would be no additions, there would be no adding, no effect in this world. And he uses the word B'shukah because it's even more. A shuk is the idea of a shusarabim, a place where everybody's there, there's no individuality, there's no progress, it always stays the same. Whereas Yosef is saying that through Torah we can actually make ourselves in the world. We can add, we can change. Things can be elevated. Which also explains Rashi. Rashi, when you in the Gemara in Pesachim there, he says, Rabbi Yosef, when he's celebrating Shavuos, he writes, because of the Torah, Shenisgadalti v'nisroimamti, that I've become greater and been more elevated. Where's Rashi taking this from? Rabbi Yosef is saying, I studied Torah. Torah is knowledge, it's an idea, it's something in the mind. Who says it has an effect on you? There's many people who study Torah that don't. But this is what Rabbi Yosef is saying. He's saying, through Torah, it was able to make me greater. So we see, we understand that HaYoyma had a double effect. One, it has an effect on the world, he suffer on the world, that the hefta of the world can change and become Kodesh. And the other thing is, they can have an effect on the man. Shinis gadalt and shironti can have an effect on the gavra. But it works both ways. Not only can it make things better, it can also make things worse. As is brought down in halacha, that if a person uses a physical thing for an avera, it becomes heftzad gnai. It's something that we can't use. It's horrible. So we see this is the whole gewalt, the chiddush of Matan Torah, that now when we talk about shutfim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we can actually have an effect on this world. It's a much greater thing. When a person thinks about it, the koyach he has, and that's what Rabbi Yosef says, dekogorim, the idea that it causes. Because through studying Torah, it causes, it's a gradual effect. The more you study, the more you involve yourself, the more you can have an effect on the world. To complete this episode, the question still is, so why is Rabbi Yosef the person who notices this? There are many other Tanoim before Rabbi Yosef who could come and celebrate Matan Torah and say, ah, look, b'schus Matan Torah we can have an effect on the world, we can make you more holy, etc., etc., not only the Gabra now and the Chefza. Why did Rabbi Yosef pointed this out? So, there's an interesting Chakira regarding the effect the Torah can have on the world. We said that the whole reason why the Torah has an effect is because there's a tzivui. So what about people that are not mitzvah? If somebody doesn't have the commandment from Hashem to do it, and nonetheless he goes ahead and does it, does he still have an effect? Is it like before Matan Torah, that because he didn't have the tzivui, there's no effect? Or since once there is such a concept, now even if you study Torah with no tzivui, then you can still have an effect on the world. Where does it apply? Applies the mashal by women, the mitzvahs shazman grama, there's no tzivui for them. Or cheir shayt of a cotton, that there's no tzivui for them. And Rav Yosef, we know he was a summa. He was an iver, he was blind. And iver is part of mina mitzvahs. So lechayra, does Rav Yosef's mitzvahs and Torah have an effect on the world? So to see what Rav Yosef's opinion is on it, we turn to the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Pi Zayin says, also a quotation from Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "Mitchila," he says at the beginning, anybody would come and tell me that Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, I will make a feast. What does he mean? There is a machlokes. There's the idea of Godel haMitzvah Vayisa Yosef Misha'ena Mitzvah Vayisa. Who's greater? He who's commanded and does, or somebody who's not commanded and he still does? So Rabbi Yehuda says that somebody who's not commanded and does is nothing. Because mitzvah is greater than somebody sheinu mitzvah. See, Rabbi Yosef would say, if somebody comes and says, Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, so I'll be happy. Why? Because I'm not commanded, and nonetheless I'm going and doing. So I'll make a big celebration from it. Ich bin nicht mechuyev, and nonetheless I study Torah. We see from here that Rabbi Yosef holds that even if you're not mechuyev, it's still a reason for a celebration. Why? Because by you doing, you're actually affecting. You're making a difference in the world. And this is why Rabbi Yosef said it more than any other Tanna. But the question still remains, there were other people who had these impediments. They couldn't see, they had problems. Baba Ben Butta, etc. Why Dafka Rabbi Yosef? So, the Gemara, there's another interesting Gemara. And the Gemara says in Brachas, when Rabbi Yosef was made al-Atzma, he was testified on himself that he was a Sinai. The Gemara says, what is a Sinai? There's two types of learners. One is a Sinai and one is an Oiker Harim. A Sinai is, an Oiker Harim is somebody, his mind is so sharp, he can uproot mountains with his svaras. Sinai, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, he was somebody who knew the whole Torah al-Buriyoi, he knew every part of the Torah, Kishasna Sinasa mi Sinai. And that's why it was called the Sinai. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef is more chashuv. Why? Ki hakol tzrichim lemar chitya. Everybody needs the person who provides wheat. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. So svaras is a good thing. If you don't know what to do, then you're stuck. So Rabbi Yosef was a person who says that everybody would come to him and he would help him study Torah. So therefore Rabbi Yosef was saying, the fact that I can help those people who are mitzvah, I can bring this hashpa on the world to its completion. I can utilize it, fulfill it to its maximum. This is why Rabbi Yosef was the person who picked up on it, because he can do it from both angles. Himself, who's not mitzvah, and even for people who were mitzvah, he helped everybody. So we see from here this whole concept of the hashpa a person has. And as we mentioned, it goes both ways. So another idea in this week's parsha, which shows us how after Matan Torah, by a person just saying, just words, what an effect they can have. And that is in this week's parsha we read how in Yisroi had a few names. One of Yisroi, where did it come from? So Rashi tells us Shiyiter Parsha Achas Batera. He added the parsha. What's this parsha that he added? Va'atos sechze mikol ha'oman shechayim. where Yisrael comes to Moshe and he says, you're not acting good as a leader. What's wrong? He says, "Kol ha'am mitzav alecha min boker ad erev." Everybody's coming to you for judgment. Moshe Rabbeinu sat in the Beis Din, and everybody came one after the other. He said, "Yisrael says, Novoi tiboy. You won't be able to handle this one person." And he says, "Va'atos sechzena." What you should do is you should set a whole hierarchy, a whole system, a pyramid, where you put sorry alofim, sorry meis, sorry chamishim, etc. And when you have a pyramid like in the army, etc., then the simple things, the simple people deal with, etc. And only the complicated things you all deal with. And the question is, L'chaira, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think of this. The proof is that Moshe Rabbeinu agrees. And he says to you, "You know what, you're right, let's do it." Moshe, the great leader, didn't think of such an idea of delegating. He was such an Oyel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see all the people standing outside from the morning till the night, waiting for their turn to come in to see him. Doesn't he care? What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? But rather the answer is that there is a certain strength when the tzaddik serves as the Av Beis Din, or the person who's solving the solution. I once heard this story, I think it was with certain Chassidus, who one of the Chassidim offended his friend. So the guy who was offended decided, when I go into the Rebbe next time for Yechidus, I'm going to speak to him and I'm going to tell him what this guy did to me and how he behaved. He wasn't a chassid of this Rebbe. How one of his chassidim behaved. So he says he came in for this Yechidus and he sat in the room and he was about to say something, but the kedusha was so great in the room, he felt, well, I'm going to start talking about these petty things. It's a joke. And the whole issue just fell away. Like when two ministers can fight, but they come in front of the prime minister, in front of the king. It's nothing, it's narishkeit. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew this koyach he had. That when the people come into him, just the fact that they're in his presence, the problem will be solved. So it's much better. But the question is then the opposite. If Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is a better way, then why does he change his mind after Yisrael? The answer is, as we said, because once you raise a problem, as we say, a shaila is treif, the fact that he spoke about it, it created that mitzias in the world. Ah, that's the problem, so now we need to address it in the physical way. Now we need to deal with it. We were running on a spiritual way, on a spiritual wave. Now that you've said it, we need to deal with it on the physical sense. An interesting story along those lines, I once heard of this lady who was an aguna. She was looking for a husband. So she came to a big tzaddik. And he told her, "Go to Lvov, which is a certain city, and you'll find your husband." So she said to him, "But what if he's not there?" So he said, "Ah, so then you should go to Vilna." And she said, "But what if he's not there?" So he told her in the third city. And she said, "And what if he's not there?" Somebody said, "Come on," and then they pushed her out of the room. So she went to Lvov, and she was looking for her husband. Somebody said, "You know, he was just there, but he got on a train, and he went to Vilna." So she went to Vilna, and somebody said, "Oh, he was here, but he just left." And then she found him in the last city. What was it she said? She wouldn't have said, she wouldn't have caused the problem. So we see again this koyach that a person has. Koyach adib was all things. This is the chiddush of Matan Torah, that we can actually affect the world. So how much a person needs to be careful of what he does. On the other hand, a person can be so proud of the fact that he studies Torah and does mitzvahs, how we mamish mocking this world and mocking kodesh. The other aspect of Matan Torah, which I'd like to also, we still have 10 minutes to elaborate on and strengthen, is it's known that this chiddush, what we've been speaking about, came about from Matan Torah. What is Matan Torah? Matan Torah is the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. And Shir HaShirim is all about this. The fact that we're Chala, and Ebishter is the Chosin, etc. This is all Matan Torah. This is the week of the great celebration. And like people mark their wedding anniversary, this week is when we read about the marking of this anniversary of the Chasna between us and Hashem. So a few ideas which elaborate on this kesher that we have with Hashem. And through this kesher, this connection, we can affect the world. There's an interesting Medrash Pliya. I'm sure you've heard the Medrash Pliya, is the Midrashim which are not understood. And the Medrash Pliya says as follows. It says, "Gedoyle tshuva, shedoyche es loisese." Tshuva is so great that it's even greater than a loisese. It's doyche loisese. What does it mean? What is this Medrash talking about? So there's an explanation as follows. The Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Seitzei that if a person gets married and then gets divorced and he goes and marries a different woman, And then he divorces the second woman, he wants to go marry back the first woman. So the Torah says, Lo yuchay bala rishon loshuv lekachta, etc. He can never remarry the first lady. Yet we see, Torah, we just explained, Matan Torah explained, is the marriage between the Eibishter and the Jewish people. And straight after Matan Torah, we read in a few, just two parshas down the line, that the Jewish people, they misbehave, so to speak, and they go and they do chaytegel. They go and they get, they go into a new bond, into a new marriage with something totally different. And then they do tshuva, and the Eibishter accepts it. L'chora, how can they reconnect to Hashem? How can they remarry, so to speak, Hashem? It says, lo yuchal ba'al harishon lo shelakachto. From here we see, g'doyle teshuva, shedechas lo yisase. Even though it says, you can't do it, in our relationship with Hashem it is. Why? Because this bond that we have with Hashem, this Matan Torah is so strong that nothing can cut it, nothing can sever it. And another idea which shows this particular thing, I was in a chasna last week, and said the famous bracha Birkas Hanisuin, which is Mekadesh Amoy Yisrael Al Yedei Chupa VeKiddushin. The question is, why do we say it in that seder? It doesn't make sense. Today we do the Chupa and the Nisuin and the Kiddushim at the same time, right? But in the olden days, it used to be done in a big. There was a big gap. First they would do. Kiddushin, which was done at least 12 months before, and only then they would do the Nisuin. The Chuppah is which part? Nisuin. So, L'chaira, it should have said Mekadosh Am Yisrael Al Yedei Kiddushin V'Chuppah. Because Kiddushin was part of Nisuin. So why do we say Al Yedei Chuppah V'Kiddushin? So our certain explanation as follows. Back to Parashat Kiseitzei. The Torah says that if a person imposes himself on a narrow besula, and he has marital relationships with her, so the din is that he needs to give 50 kesef l'avi anaro, v'lo yisir le'isha kol yomov lo yuchal l'shalchot. He has to marry her, and he can never divorce her. He can never separate from her. And the question is why? Why can he never divorce? And the Mepharshim explained, because this guy reversed the order. Because the first thing needs to be that you do Kiddushin. The way he imposed himself on a bia is part of Nisuin. And this person, he first did the Nisuin. He imposed himself on the girl. And only then he goes and marries her, he does the Kiddushin. So because you've done it in the reverse order, the knas is, the gzer is, that it stays forever, you can never change it. We come to Matan Torah. We see what happened. The Torah, the Medrash tells us that Kofa Aleh Amar Ki Gigis. The first stage in this relationship between us and Hashem was a kfiyah. He imposed himself on us. And only after he imposed himself on us, then he kiviyachol married us. He took sarim and he tied them. People said that there was a whole ceremony of the marriage. So because the Eibishter did it in a reverse way, he can never divorce us. And that is why we say, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yedei Chupa VeKiddushin. Because the way the Eibishter was Mekadesh us, our relationship with him was vice versa. And that is why we stay forever. So to sum up, talking about this, Kofa Lemar Ke Gigis, again, this relationship between us and Hashem, many people are bothered with this statement. How can you say Kofa Lemar Ke Gigis? The whole thing was Hashem imposing himself on us, forcing us into this relationship. It's not fair. So, interesting idea. We talk about the Ten Commandments, which is what we got, the Torah in Matan Torah. So they're given in two luchas, in two tablets. L'chaira, why didn't Hashem give it in one? Obviously the famous joke, because we're Jewish, so we said it's free, so give two. But there must be something more to it. L'chaira could have been right from the top all the way down. But Mepharshim explained that actually the reason why it's divided into two is because there's a connection. There's a connection. You can also read it, Onechi Hashem lo yisirtzach. Lo yeh lo yisinach. So we don't have time to explain the connection of all, but at least the first one. What is the connection? How do we read Onechi Hashem lo yikecha lo yisirtzach? How do we connect the two together? So, the idea that Onechi comes before lo yisirtzach is to show us that these two are tied together. You can't have one without the other. About 200 years ago, we in society was bringing forth this concept of people who everything was based on seichel. A scholar movement, where we don't need the Torah to explain to us why we can do it, why we can't do it. I can explain myself. Murder, I need Hashem to tell me. I'm a human being, I understand that murder is wrong. You know what happened just 60 years ago? We have people who intellectually could explain why Lo Yisir Tzach is okay. Why we need the Aryan race, etc. So what they did was, is at the beginning they took off on Lo Yichyeh Hashem. This one they pushed away. Lo Yisir Tzach, I know myself, I need Lo Yichyeh Hashem. I need Hashem to tell me Lo Yisir Tzach. I don't need Hashem. They kept Lo Yisir Tzach. That was 200 years ago. But because they didn't have a Lo Yichyeh Hashem, so Lo Yisir Tzach can suddenly change. In their case, Lo Yisir Tzach didn't apply. So that's how we need a Lo Yichyeh Hashem at the beginning. But then you have people that they've done the other way around. They keep on Lo Yichyeh Hashem. Hashem is 100%, they agree. But Lo Yisir Tzach doesn't apply. What does that mean? We believe in Allah. And any person who doesn't agree in the same way that we understand it, then Lo Yisir Tzach doesn't apply. I can go, I can kill, I can mass murder. Why? In the name of Hashem. And that is why we need to have a Lo Yichyeh Hashem and Lo Yisir Tzach together. We believe in Hashem always and never changes. And Lo Yisir Tzach also never changes. And this is the idea of Kafa Lemaki Gigis. What does he say? Hashem says, if you don't accept the Torah, Poiseik Raschem. If you don't accept it, he held my sin on top of him. He said, if not, you will die. Hashem wasn't threatening them, Chas V'Shalom. He was saying, if you don't accept the Torah, if the Torah is not the code that leads your life, Poiseik Raschem, you will die. There is no existence. There is no future. A person will change his mind, decide to kill. The only way you can have the fabric of society is if you have the Torah. This is the only way you can exist. So, take the message of this week's parasha, this idea, this koyach haTorah, we see that the Torah, if you don't accept the Torah, poi teik v'raschem. This Torah nim shel olamim, this whole idea, without Torah you can't exist on the spiritual and the physical, it just doesn't work. But more than that, the fact that the Torah has such a hashpa on the world, on the Hefta and on the Gavra, a person through learning Torah becomes a more holy person, he becomes a more sensitive person, a better person, and the more you learn, the more you can, there's never a limit. And also the fact that we can actually change the world, we can take anything which is physical, materialistic, mundane, and through the mitzvahs of Torah we can elevate it, which is a tremendous power we have, so to utilize it. We know that the only way the Mashiach can come is by us making this place a better place, a holier place. So Mitzvah Hashem will be zoichet to this. We call it Mamash Mer Amen.